from Illinois Public Media. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And it's time for our reporter roundtable, where we talk about what's been making headlines across the 21st state. Today, we're focusing on Springfield and Champaign-Urbana. We begin in Springfield with Sean Crawford, managing editor at WUIS NPR Illinois. Sean, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
I want to begin with state politics, actually. Former Republican State Senator Sam McCann, who was from that area, was sentenced on Tuesday to 42 months in federal prison. Can you remind us of what he was charged with?
Well, he was charged with several things, wire fraud, things of that nature, because of illegally using campaign money to buy things like personal vehicles. I believe he bought an RV, paid personal debts, used the money for things that it wasn't supposed to be used for. And as you mentioned, sentenced to about 3.5 years in federal prison. He also has to pay several hundred thousand dollars in restitution. I believe it's nearly $700,000. And most of that's going to go to unions who had given him money when he made a run for office. He was running for office during the last couple of years in which he ran for governor. He was a third party candidate.
And that campaign for governor, it was seen as sort of a mischievous ploy by certainly, I think, the Operating Engineers Union was a big one, because they put him up on this party called the Conservative Party. And it was when Governor Bruce Rauner was having trouble with conservatives that election year, right?
That's right. And he and Bruce Rauner did not get along. You know, just to walk back a bit, McCann took office in 2010. He was a he became a state senator. He defeated Deanna DiMuzio, a Democrat. She was the wife of the longtime Democratic Senator Vince DiMuzio. A lot of people who follow state politics might remember him. So McCann comes up. This is a bit of an upset. He was kind of in that Tea Party movement when that came around. He owned a construction company, but he ran into trouble with tax issues involving his business. And somewhere along the line, he and Bruce Rauner just did not get along. At times, he felt Rauner was not conservative enough. Rauner faced that criticism from within his own party. And Rauner funded an opponent against McCann in a primary in 2016. And McCann barely won. He got through that. But he never let that go, apparently, because he launched that third-party bid for governor, mainly to go after Rauner. He finished third, 4% of the vote, and that was behind Rauner and the eventual winner of that race, which was J.B. Pritzker.
And now he's going to be in prison for, as you said, 3.5 years. Boy, what a change. All right, let's stick with local news for Springfield. And we now know the name of a woman who was fatally shot by a Sangamon County Sheriff's deputy last week. What more can you tell us about this?
Well, not a whole lot, but we can give you a little bit that we have learned, and that is 36-year-old Sonia Massey, that's her name, a black woman from Springfield. A 911 call went into the Sangamon County Sheriff's deputies, and this was late Friday night, early Saturday morning, reporting a prowler in her neighborhood. And all we've been able to find out since then is that the sheriff's deputies were dispatched and Massey ended up being shot. And that has been confirmed by a deputy that shot her. She died on her way to a hospital here in the area. But few other details are being released. The Illinois State Police have taken over this investigation, and they did release a statement saying that at this time they're keeping sort of everything under wraps to keep the integrity of this investigation. And also, as they mentioned, in case charges may have to be filed in the case as well. So the state police, that investigation could take a while, could take a few weeks. We don't know. But they did say that they would be releasing more information when the investigation is complete. So at this time, we're waiting to see. There is a lot of concern, especially among the black community in Springfield.
I was going to ask if you'd heard from activists at all on this. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there is concern. There is concern among a lot in the black community about this. There is a protest planned for Friday morning in front of the Sangamon County building. That is where the sheriff's office headquarters are located. And of course, Sonia Massey, her funeral is set for Friday morning as well.
All right. We're going to obviously have more to say on that story in the months ahead. Another bit of sad news out of Springfield. There was a major fire that happened in downtown. What do we know about that, the causes of it, and how it's affected the neighborhood?
Well, there's still a lot of investigations going on as far as the cause is concerned, but a building on Adams Street, this is just a few blocks from the state capitol and really right almost next to the old state capitol for people who've been to Springfield. This is in the downtown area, caught fire last month. The building was destroyed. Some businesses and people who lived in the buildings were displaced. And the building cleanup, it's going kind of slow right now. Part of that due to structural concerns, because these are some old buildings. They're trying to determine if there needs to be some work done on neighboring buildings. They you know, go right together in a block there. And there was a lot of issues that come about when it comes to trying to determine how safe they are. Money is being raised to help those that are impacted. And, you know, a bigger concern about this, Brian, and you would know this well, being in Springfield so long, that this is one of those areas of Springfield that has seen a bit of a rejuvenation. The downtown area has struggled a bit, especially compared to 20 years ago. And that's due to fewer state employees in the area, the pandemic, more people working from home. So there's just not as many people around, but this specific area, this block basically, has really done well because of some retail attractions, including a restaurant, a craft brewery is there. In fact, even a cat cafe opened up just recently in that specific building. And also the farmer's market that is held downtown twice a week has been held on that block as well. So it's really a true gathering place for a lot of people. And this really hit hard for many of them that are trying to do something to rejuvenate the downtown.
Yeah, I'll call it out. Cafe Moxo, they have a great breakfast menu there as well as a lunch menu. I've shopped at one of the bookstores that was destroyed, sadly. I've gotten more than a dozen books there over the years. It was a used bookstore called the Elf Shelf. I've seen fundraising efforts coming together, trying to support some of the businesses, because a lot of them, even if they weren't necessarily in the direct involved in the fire directly, have had to shut down because of the structural questions around the building, right?
That's right. And even as you mentioned, some of the businesses that have shut down, there was also the loss in that building of some items that were related to what was for many, many years here, a very big plant that was a millery, a Pillsbury Mills plant that had operated in Springfield. And a lot of people are wanting to, you know, keep that history alive. So they had taken a lot of the items from that and housed it in a space that was an exhibit actually going on related to the Pillsbury Mills plant. And a lot of that was destroyed. Almost all of it was destroyed because of this fire. So I think we're all waiting to see what happens next and how the town and how that area, especially of downtown, rebounds from this fire.
All right. Well, I want to end briefly on a more positive note, and that is a new historical marker, also downtown Springfield, noting the birth of the horseshoe sandwich. What can you tell us about that?
Well, for those that don't know what a horseshoe is, and honestly, if you don't spend a lot of time in Springfield, probably don't know. It's a meat on top of bread, usually open-faced, and has French fries on it. And then to top it all off, in typical Midwest fashion, we cover it with just a bunch of cheese sauce. So a very heavy meal, but certainly something that is hugely popular in Springfield and has been for a long time. There's a book about it. There's even an app now that you can see what restaurants serve it, so you can go around and find your horseshoe. So the local tourism office came up with this idea, and probably a pretty good one. They said they'd heard from people about this, of putting a plaque up on a building where it's believed that the horseshoe was created many, many years ago. This building at the corner of Capitol Avenue and 6th Street, it now houses the Illinois Commerce Commission offices. But years ago, it was the Leland Hotel. And as I said, it's believed that's where the sandwich was created by a chef and his wife. A few will argue that point. But it is clear the origin of the horseshoe dates back 100 years. And now if you come to Springfield, you can actually find that specific spot.
The Leland Hotel. Sean Crawford, great to talk with you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
And we turn now to my colleague Jim Meadows to talk about what's been making headlines in Champaign-Urbana. Jim, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Glad to be here.
Police in Urbana were looking to hire more officers. They did that, but it wasn't as many as they had hoped. What prevented them from getting to where they wanted to get with this?
Well, what prevented them was anti-police sentiment, which has been brewing in Urbana for several years. And some of it is among city council members, but also among many residents who came to voice their opinions at council meetings. It's part of a political movement that came into its own after the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis in 2020, but you can trace it back several years earlier in Urbana. Our reporters Farah Anderson and May Antar covered these meetings where the Urbana Police Chief Larry Boone had requested money in the new city budget for about 11 or 12 positions. Ultimately, he received funding for four, a deputy chief, training sergeant, and two community outreach officers. Police critics essentially don't want more police. They want more problems which police are now handling, including ones that involve homeless people and people needing mental health services. They want those to be handled elsewhere by other people who are not police. And as a matter of fact, as part of the vote here, Urbana city officials at the meeting pledged to create a task force to help set city policy on the future of policing in Urbana. So this is a continuing story in terms of what's going on in Urbana concerning police community relations, but it's a notable moment in which the police department got much less than what it was asking for.
Fascinating. You don't often see that still continuing to happen as much as you did back in 2020. All right, let's talk about another story. There was a push for, I don't know if secession is the right term, what was going on in Vermilion County with regard to its relationship to Cook County and Chicago and the rest of Illinois?
Well, of course, there are several counties in Illinois where voters or county boards have passed statements or resolutions, pretty much non-binding at this point, expressing sympathy with the idea of seceding from Illinois. Essentially, what they would like to do is have every county but Cook County secede from Illinois. It's essentially throwing out Cook County. Technically, they can't do that, but they could leave Illinois themselves. And from the counts I've seen, I think about 28 counties have done this. In Vermilion County, there was a group. It was, I think, a chapter of the organization New Illinois that held a meeting in Danville in May. Five members of the mostly Republican Vermilion County Board asked to have this resolution put on the agenda, which would ask voters if they would support allowing county boards to communicate with other county boards about a possible succession. So that vote was held this week. It did not pass in this case. The vote was 7 yes, 15 no, 5 absences. This would usually be a party line thing, but many Republicans did not vote for it. So in this case, the secession movement has met a wall, at least this time. It is still, as some county board members mentioned, something that other people could bring up and put on a referendum ballot if they collect enough petitions.
Yeah, maybe partition's the better word here. I don't know. But I will say, if listeners want to go deeper on that issue and talk about the state or listen to a conversation about the statewide movement, we talked about it back in April. Should Illinois Become Two States was the name of that segment. You can find it at 21stshow.org. Jim, I want to end on, I guess, a slightly more upbeat note than some of the other stories we've talked about today. And that is, it's an animal story. An emu that has been on the run in central Illinois for almost 2 years has finally been caught. Just for listeners' sake, I didn't know. An emu is a type of bird. Can you remind us what happened, what it took to get to this point?
Yes, an emu is a large flightless bird with hairy feathers from Australia. And a farmer in Vermilion County, which is one of the eastern, east-central Illinois counties, had some emus, what is called not a flock, they're a mob. It was a mob of emus, and somebody who shouldn't have done it opened up a gate, and the emus got out, also some cows. The cows were corralled pretty quickly. The emus took more work, and one of the emus they couldn't round it up. So the emu ran away, and for the next 2 years, it was often sighted around Vermilion and Champaign counties. Apparently, a rural setting is a pretty good place for an emu to find food. They may be a little stressed because they're really a flock animal. They don't like being alone, but they did it pretty well, and there were many sightings of it. A few cases where police tried to capture it, not successful. But often you would see video on social media of the emu just going down a nature trail or along a road. But
I'm afraid we're gonna have to end with that, but Jim, because we are almost out of time.
Quickly, the emu was recaptured by some neighbors. It's back in the pen.
Oh, that is an excellent ending. I'm glad to hear it came that way. Jim Meadows with Illinois Public Media, thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Sure thing.
More to come after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.